Now, you also have the energy price. So you have the price that is simply to serve the demand. So, you know, stack up all the offers, pick the cheapest one, stack all of them up by cost, and find out what the price is of the most expensive generator you dispatch, not considering the transmission constraints. And that is your cost just to meet the energy. Now, then on top of that, you've got this congestion costs, we call them, from these transmission constraints. Now, just to make things a little bit more interesting, there's also scarcity pricing. So when we're in shortage conditions, so where things are looking tight, there's not tons of extra generation on to meet the load, and the prices in our market design construct need to reflect that scarcity condition. So not only are we finding the price at which supply equals demand, we're also in some cases going to add some dollars to that to reflect that scarcity. Again, I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Now, this happens every 5 minutes, but the settlement, so the dollars, only flow every 15 minutes. So you take those 5 minutes, everybody's getting prices, they're being dispatched, and they get aggregated up to a 15-minute settlement interval. And that's what people actually pay settlement invoices based on. Generators are paid based on the price at their node, so their physical location in the network. Loads have to pay kind of a much bigger area we call load zones. So those are aggregations of a bunch of loads that all get an aggregated price. So for example, you've got the entire north load zone. It's roughly 45% of the load. And it's all of the load gets a price and it gets aggregated into that one number. So loads pay just a few different prices depending on where they're located, whereas generators, there's 700 different locations across the network that get different prices. So you can see how there's kind of a congestion component between what loads pay and what generators get paid. So talk a little bit about how the energy market construct works here in ERCOT. We're what's called an energy-only market. I'm sure you've heard that get thrown around a lot. Many other markets have capacity-based markets. ERCOT relies on the energy prices to incentivize generation, to incentivize investment, to make decisions to provide enough for the health of the system. And we used to have one of the highest offer caps in North America at $9,000. And that was very recently reduced down to $5,000. And so that's a scarcity adder. So that is when there's not enough generation to meet all of the load, plus the reserves that ERCOT needs to keep for safety on the system, the price will go all the way to that cap. Now, the other thing is that our market is also based on a self-commitment model, meaning instead of a top-down decision where ERCOT is always deciding what generators are running and when and how long and when are they going to come on and when are they going to come off, these entities, these privately owned entities, the municipals, the co-ops, they make those decisions. They take the profit if they win, if they made the right decision, and they take the losses if they made the wrong decision, rather than a top-down command and control situation where ERCOT is making all of the decisions. Now, they do have a reliability role, and so they will make these residual commitments if needed, but the emphasis really needs to be on that generator self-commitment. Otherwise, if ERCOT makes that commitment decision, then ERCOT load takes on the risk of profit and loss. And the idea is to keep that more on the side of the private entities. Something that's also a little different is the day-ahead market, also called DAM, is a voluntary market. You do not have to participate in it, and there's no rules about how much you have to offer in or when, other than, you know, a lot of markets have mandatory voluntary markets. Now, there's a lot of good reasons to participate, and it provides hedging opportunities for loads and for generation. and it provides trading opportunities for others. Now, we also have those reserves, which are called ancillary services. You'll hear them sort of interchangeably called ancillary services and reserves. There is a little bit of a difference. So I'll say here that ancillary services are procured in the day ahead market. So they're procured in advance. That is kind of a physical decision. So while it is a voluntary market, we really do need at least enough generators to participate to procure those reliability services. And those are things like saying, we just need enough generators sitting on the system but not generating, just in case a large generator goes offline or there's a huge variability in load forecasts, things like that. We have to have some safety built into the system, and that's what those ancillary services are for. All generators have to offer into the market in real time, though. So if you are going to run your generator, you have to tell ERCOT how much it costs you, what your marginal cost is. And so that says, you know, how much fuel you need to burn per megawatt and whatever your operations and maintenance costs are. That includes renewable generation. So ERCOT dispatches wind and solar and energy storage resources, all based on what their competitive offers are. Now, they might be very different from a gas unit because they don't have fuel. Sorry, that was my cat. But they do actually have to put in an offer, and ERCOT is still going to be dispatching economically and choosing between generators, even including those renewables.